The public hearing on Senate Bill 5520, Office of the Governor's Budget, Legislative Fiscal. Dallas, do you want to begin?
Sure, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Today is the public hearing on the Office of the Governor's Budget Request. I have passed out a memo to you and our standard analysis of the governor's rep. The governor's recommended budget for his office is strictly current service level. They put last year's budget through the machine and came out with current service level, so it's fairly easy to describe. However, there's a little twisting from Department of Administrative Services based on staff recommendations and committee movement. Three policy offices were removed, their budgets were removed from Administrative Services, the Governor's Natural Resource Office, Community Development Office, and the Office on Economic and Workforce, Education and Workforce Development. I'm sorry. Those three offices were felt more appropriately to be part of the Governor's budget. Those tabs and all the backup were removed from the Department of Administrative Services and put in the Governor's budget, at least in this binder. It wasn't part of their formal request. With that, there was no budget notes in the governor's office last time. No scathing audit reports issued. Not even nice ones that I'm aware of.
Come after we leave.
Oh, no.
I have nothing more.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you this morning. Appreciate you being here. Sorry I was a few minutes late. And whichever one of you wants to first start.
Yes. For the record, I'm Teresa McHugh from the Department of Administrative Services, and we provided a handout like we have with all agencies that walk through basically the number side of the Office of the Governor. It has not been changed for those policy offices, but Sarah Gates will be happy to come back and go through those pieces again if that's helpful. In terms of the base governor's office, Dallas explained it correctly. This budget is really was just put through the standard formulas. And at that, there's a 4.9% increase in funding. The general fund goes from 5.4 to a little over 5.7 on general fund. Other funds went from just under 800,000 to 838,000, and the staffing level stayed the same at 29 positions in FTE. Again, most of the governor's budget is general fund. That accommodates about 87%. The other funds that come in are for specific purposes, the Affirmative Action Office, and the other funds actually come from Department of Administrative Services. It's part of the Human Resource Service Division assessment and then transferred over to the Affirmative Action Program. And the Minority and Women-Owned Business Program, that comes from FTE-based assessment against construction, a lot of it from Department of Transportation, Federal Highway Funds, some from Department of Administrative Services as well. So those are the two big other funds. It is one program for budgeting purposes, but really within that, you know, the general administration is about 86%. That's really the largest piece. Affirmative Action is about 6.5%. Minority Women and Emerging Small Business is about 6.3%. And then there is a small special appropriation of $50,000 for expenses that aren't normal to state agencies, and that's just under 1%.
$50,000 for abnormal expenses.
Abnormal. things
put
like
that, put
yeah,
that down for
yeah, things
Mark
like
has a possible area to cut.
It stayed at $50,000 for as long as I can remember. So, on the next page, again, it's a 4.9% increase, and it is continuing current service. The only phase out was about $500,000 of revenue, and that was the Telecommunication Policy Office. And you may remember, I think it was 1995 when that was created. Since that time, last session, the movement was to move that into Department of Administrative Services with the Chief Information Officer taking on that role of Policy Advisor for Telecommunications as well. So that's been completely phased out of the Governor's Office and now is part of Information Resource Management Division. Again, a pretty basic budget, personal services and which goes along with being a general admin type agency, 71%, services and supplies, 28%, and capital outlay, 1%. And the only other thing I would add is that as we went through the process and the LFO staff and budget management have conferred on it, there was an attempt to try and clean up line items to make them more closely match reality of where the expenses were, but the overall increase was just the standard services and supplies inflation. The only emergency board action for this agency was the employee compensation cost increases that occurred for all agencies. And again, the only adjustments were for position inflationary cost changes, and again, that tiny phase out of cleanup the telecommunication policy. And there were no policy packages. So that's kind of an overview of the number side. And again, when Sarah Gates comes and if you go into the policy offices that are part of Department of Administrative Services, should be happy to review that material again as well. And with that, I'll turn it over to the Chief of Staff.
Thank you, Teresa. Let me just see first if there's any questions before we go forward with Bill information. Any more questions? Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Bill Wyatt. I'm the Governor's Chief of Staff. This marks my third or fourth, rather, and final address on behalf of the Governor's Office budget biannually. And I think as I was looking at the materials the other evening, how little has really changed over the course of that time. We have the same number of employees in our office as did Governor Nicotia. When he concluded his time here, there have been little bumps along the way, little changes here and there, but essentially the basic functions of the office really haven't changed. And I think there's a pretty good reason for that. The governor is the constitutional chief executive officer of the state, and the office is there to support him in fulfilling those obligations and responsibilities. And over the years, they've been defined pretty clearly. And I think if you were to think about the governor's office as a in the private sector model, this would be the office of the president and the chief executive officer. We have tried to limit our office operation to areas of policy and not to operation. And so what you won't find in the governor's office are people who have their hands on the tools of day-to-day management of state government. We have vested virtually all of that in the Department of Administrative Services. And so as you look at consideration, for example, of the policy offices, I think that's an important consideration for us. Those are policy offices, and they are not involved in the day-to-day management and administration of state government. Just to review briefly with you the sorts of things which the governor and therefore his office are involved in. I think first and foremost, the governor is the constitutional chief executive officer of state government, is charged with implementing the laws and policies which you and the people of Oregon established through the initiative process as well. The governor appoints many, not all, of the major department heads. Some are hired by boards and commissions whose members themselves are appointed by the governor. In fact, I recall correctly, in a two-year term, in a four-year term, rather, the governor will make 2,000 appointments to various boards and commissions, some of which are subject to Senate confirmation, many of which are not. They're relatively minor boards and commissions, but all by itself, that's a substantial role and responsibility. The governor appoints judges in the instance of vacancies, for example, which also requires a substantial commitment of time and resources. The governor has broad powers of pardon, clemency, and commutation, which, while exercised very lightly during this governor's term, nevertheless does require a considerable degree of attention. The governor has an office of citizen representative, which deals directly with citizen issues and complaints. The volume of mail, as you can appreciate, and other contact that we receive is extraordinary. And so we have a whole process set up to deal with all of that. And the governor is the chief executive officer of state government, which means having and being accountable for the management of state government, which requires a considerable degree of care and time and attention on his part, on the office's part. And then the legislature comes to town, and we obviously are charged with producing a biennial governor's recommended budget and interacting with you all during the course of the legislative session. Those functions have remained pretty much the same for as long as I've been in and around state government, which dates back to 1971, and I suspect that it probably goes back even further than that. The office chart that you see actually looks a little different than it did when we began, excuse me, and there is a reason for that. I think back in the 91 session, in an effort to respond to the issues presented by Measure 5, the governor's office was trimmed to a very considerable extent, and we spent really three sessions putting it back together again, and I think that this session probably represents the culmination of that. The Office of Education and Workforce Policy is a variation, really, on a function that used to be in the governor's office. The Office of Governor's Office of Natural Resource Policy has always been something previous to our time that was sort of begged, borrowed, and stolen from other functions in state government. And I think this budget, with the addition of the policy offices, is an attempt to, as honestly as possible, reflect all of the functions which should properly reside in the governor's office. And if we succeed at that, we'll have concluded the decade of the 90s by putting back together what we spent the first couple of years taking apart, I'll feel good about that. I'm not sure that I really have any other comments to make to you unless you want to ask some questions.
Any questions? President Butler?
Thank you, ma'am. Just one question. You alluded, Bill, to the number of employees. The same number as did Governor Vicente at the end of his term. How many is that?
29.
And what was at the end of Governor Roberts' term, which would have been the beginning of this?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, I can't recall exactly, but I would say it was probably down to under 20, just slightly under 20. Or right around that 20 mark. I know there were a number of positions that were eliminated during the downsizing there, and I'd be happy to get that number for you and get it back to the committee.
For example, our receptionist was eliminated. So when I got here, we had a bunch of receptionists from some other agency. I can't remember where she came from, but they just went through wholesale and eliminated positions and functions. Actually, the legislature went through the same process, and you all are recovering from that period, as are we.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any questions? President Hayden?
Having read the Department of Administrative Services budget, there was, as I recall, a remarkable expansion of FTE in that. And you have sort of seconded some of your work to them, and they have picked that up. But didn't the staff follow the work in that case?
Might be a little more specific. You're talking about the Governor's Office of Natural Resource Policy,
I was just thinking you said during your presentation that you had assigned a lot of the administrative responsibility to the Department of Administrative Services.
Yes, and actually, I think to be clear about that, as long as I've been around, at least the Governor's Office, not I mean just this governor, but they've always attempted to steer clear of having within their office people who are responsible for the day-to-day management of state government. The Department of Administrative Services is actually a relatively new creature because my first involvement here back in the 70s was with what we used to call the Executive Department. And the Executive Department was essentially management and budget and two or three other relevant minor things. In the 90s, we put DAS together, as you know, with all of the central service functions of state government. And I think to a large extent, yes, the work followed. I mean, these are all functions that have existed. They were just put together under one roof.
Okay, thank you very much. Oh, Senator Dukes, I'm sorry.
Thank you. I'm looking at the organizational chart, and then the areas, all of the areas you have, and I'm trying to figure out who's where. Under policy on the org chart, I see natural resources, I've got that one, and growth management. Where is the Office of Education and Workforce Policy, Community Development Office?
Well, it's still being asked, because we put our...
That's right, we left...
Right, this wasn't our idea. And I think it's important to note that removing the policy offices from DAS was not our idea. We submitted them originally, so this is just the way that our budget was put together, just the governor's rec, I think.
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, this was the governor's recommended that was put together reflecting the December 1st release, which would have been prior to any discussion. So there's not been a new org chart done until this body acts on those policy offices here. Then we would show a new chart that would reflect that movement.
The Office of Education Workforce Policy going into DAS was not the governor's choice?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, it is in DAS. The org chart here is for the governor's office. So it isn't. You don't see Education Workforce Policy here.
I guess it's Dallas's memo I'm looking at.
Oh, okay.
Sitting right there.
He's removed from the administrative services
right.
budget. And so the governor's office has not reflected these policy offices in its budget request. However, we...
Oh, these are still floating around out there in limbo?
Yeah.
Well, they're actually for your consideration.
They're actually right here.
Well, I see them on... Well, then I guess I am a little confused. On the organizational chart that I'm looking at, there's natural resources. And I do remember peeling it out of...
policy advisor.
Yeah. For example...
That's the main person.
Right.
Yeah.
Louise is here. Growth management would be Greg Wolf, for example. Okay. Senior policy advisor is Steve Marks. Legal counsel, Chip Lazenby. So those are specific people. So the governor's office of natural resource policy is headed by an employee of the governor's office, which is the natural resource policy advisor.
But the staff, are located in
DAS. Physically within DAS, which is how the legislature chose to establish the office back in the 1995 session.
That doesn't make any sense, but I mean...
Well.
But okay, I remember pulling them out. It's like... Community Solutions Team, are they?
Mm-hmm. Community Development Office.
They just, that's part of the Community Development Office. Okay.
And I think, just to be fair, we'd like to, reserve the opportunity to talk with you about having the Community Development Office remain within the Department of Administrative Services. And the reason for that is that they do actually do day-to-day management activities, if you want to call it that, and we think there are great advantages in having the state's central administrative function close to the community development function as well. There is an important and close relationship with the governor's office, but this is essentially a management function, and so we think that there is a great deal of sense in continuing that within the Department of Administrative Services. The other two, I think, logically do belong in the governor's office. It's not because we objected that they aren't in the governor's office. That's just how they were established by the legislature in the 95 and I think the 97 session, Virginia, if that's correct.
Madam Chair, I thought I was following this right up until this last exchange, and not having any history to draw on, I'm completely baffled. I know that earlier when we worked on DAS's budget, we moved some things out of the governor's office mm-hmm. over to DAS. Now I'm finding out they were in DAS all along. Could you give us a little history,
yeah.
Bill? I'm thoroughly confused.
In 95, the governor made a significant priority of his, the creation of a... more extensive natural resource policy coordination function called the Governor's Office of Natural Resource Policy. This was resolved in the last moments of the 95 session, and so I think it is fair to say that not a great deal of care or thoughtful consideration was given to how it was put together. It was kind of slammed into the Christmas tree bill, And the Governor's Office of Natural Resource Policy was put in DAS. And to be candid with you, I think that there was a sense that placing it in the Governor's Office would appear to be too much of a win, and so we'll put it in DAS. Okay. Next session comes back, Governor's rec. We don't make any changes at all to the office. In the 97 session, we sought and received support to create the Governor's Office of Education and Workforce Policy. Now, in this case, there were two motivating factors. One is half of the state general fund budget is spent on K-12 education, and not a single person who reports directly to the governor has any accountability or responsibility whatsoever for K-12 education. And so we wanted a policy function that would give us, give the governor, the state's chief executive officer, a greater tool, if you will, to begin to have some impact on that 5.2, whatever it is, a billion this time. And in future sessions. But the Governor's Office of Education and Workforce Policy was actually created out of the ashes of a previous function that existed within state government. We brought the pieces together. So all the old workforce functions that were scattered hither and yon were brought together into the Governor's Office of Education and Workforce Policy. And for essentially the same reasons, it was placed in DAS. Its director is appointed by the governor and is a highly valued member of the governor's office. We consider her to be part of our family, our team. And so I think what's happened this time is that the legislative fiscal office has essentially recommended that we take out of DAS those functions that clearly belong in the governor's office and are part of the governor's family, if you will, and put them within the governor's office budget so that we can avoid the, you know, I'm charade is too strong a word, but so that we can avoid the perception, or not the perception, the reality, of having the governor's office not entirely represent the governor's reach in terms of the various policy offices put together. And I think that's really what's behind this move today, to put them all in one place.
And that all in one place is?
Governor's office.
Okay.
Maybe you can help a little bit with that and refresh
your
memory.
I'd appreciate that, because I'm still wandering in the woods alone.
I can tell from your face you're not.
With the information, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Staff's recommendation during the Department of Administrative Services budget was to not fund these three offices, the Office of Education, Workforce Policy Development, Governor's Natural Resource Office, and the Community Development Office, within the Department of Administrative Services. The reasons were twofold, actually. The Office of Education, Workforce Policy Development is set in statute. It does have a statutory mandate, and it is clearly in that statute an advisor to the governor. So it was very clear that this office was to be an advisor to the governor, a policy advisor to the governor. The other two offices, however, as Bill mentioned, came at the end of session. An e-board, an allocation to the emergency board or special purpose appropriation to help set these up. The governor's natural resource office has more of a history than the community development office. Those two offices don't have any statutory, any legislative or statutory reason for being, other than they happen to end up in the budget at the end for whatever reasons. And so those, for those reasons, your staff recommended moving them, because they put seemingly as support offices or policy offices in the budget without a clear home and without clear legislative intent. And my recommendations were based on moving the budgets from the administrative services to the governor's office to reflect more properly where we felt the operation belonged.
This is where the disconnect for me is. I just heard Mr. Wyatt very convincingly make the case that policy activities occur in the governor's office and the execution or the operational part of that occurs at DAS. And so why then doesn't it make sense to have those functions that have an operational aspect to them in DAS? For example, the community development office.
That's what, and I would argue that it should.
We didn't have this discussion, Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, members of the committee. We didn't have time to have this discussion during the review of the Department of Administrative Services budget. We didn't have this other information or clear. There was a lot of confusion, I guess, on the staff's part, and I think in part in some other, about the role of that office. And we do know that it has fingers and hands on in various agencies. And right now, in the discussion, I don't have a recommendation either way, to be honest with you. Our recommendation was, at the time, it felt that the property belonged in there, not that it was cast in stone.
Okay. If you desire more conversation about this, Representative Johnson, I'd be glad to hear it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not so sure that it's more explanation so much as my inability to sort of get my arms around it. I can't quite catch where it is or where the recommendation for it to be is, and I hear conflicting, at least in my mind, conflicting explanations as to what we're trying to accomplish, and I have the benefit of no history. And so you're going to hear that more, I think, in 15
2 years of history. and that's muddied the waters, is all it's done for me, Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair,
Senator Duke.
Isn't the bottom line at this point that they were all stuck in DAS, and we yanked them all out, so now they're floating around someplace? They either find a home or they go away?
I would assume so, because even though they are floating around, Dallas mentioned earlier, they are in this packet, floating in this manual here.
And where does, Madam Chair, where does DAS, I mean, where does Dallas want them to land? What's the recommendation?
I think that probably he's not that a recommendation at this point, and he needs probably input from this committee, which we'll just have a little work group, yourself and Representative Butler, who's also had some interest, and Senator Dukes. And they will work with Dallas and make a recommendation to me, I hope. Thank you.
And one other thing, Madam Chair, I swear that we left education workforce policy in DAS. We didn't, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the one that you said that they had some statutory, I mean, the statute only calls for the director to be appointed, but there was some statutory connection, so therefore they could stay.
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, members of the committee, no, this office was clearly in statute an advisor to the governor's office. There was proposed in Department of Administrative Services budget and a workforce policy advisor coordinator, I believe, in the Human Services Division, which we did not approve.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
I agree, Senator Dukes. It's been a few months ago, and it is a little fuzzy, but I remember talking about what had statutory authority.
Yeah, and that was about it.
This one has statutory authority, but it's clearly in the statute as an advisory.
To the governor, so therefore.
Okay. Representative Johnson?
May I further complicate either just me or all of you by asking one more question? Right now, under the org chart that was provided with Mr. Wyatt's material, let's just take, for example, Louise's shop. It's right on the top, natural resources. Is the idea for some of these offices then to move the operational piece of it someplace but leave the policy person within the governor's shop?
The idea would be that the all of the people that are within the governor's office of natural resource policy would become employees of the governor's office.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, right now in the governor's office, there is one position. It is just the advisor on natural resource policy. And all of the positions that do the work behind and support that person are in Department of Administrative Services. So right now it's separated.
And so the two choices, well, Madam Chair, the two choices before us then are to take, and again I'm going back to Louise's shop, to take the policy advisor and reunite that shop with the policy advisor in the shop, either in the governor's budget or in DAS's budget.
I believe those are the choices. And again, I think we would tend to agree with the committee staff that in that reuniting for natural resources, that should be within the governor's office because those are policy functions. They really aren't involved in managing and implementing the policy out in agency. Community development would be the one exception to that, from our view.
Representative Butler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I understand correctly, then those three areas that we now have that have been removed previously from the Department of Administrative Services budget include a total of 12 positions or 11 full-time equivalency, and that includes Ms. Soliday's position in the Natural Resource Office. Is that correct? That's in addition to.
That would be in addition to
and
the position that's already in the government.
And then we have 8 community development office folks. And I don't know that I saw a community development director or deputy or assistant in the governor's office. Is there not an equivalent to Ms. Soliday in...
yeah, it's growth management, if you look at the orchard.
Well, it's growth management.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
Thank you.
Okay. The third was that the Office of Education and Policy, Workforce Policy.
In that case, all the positions are within the Office of Education and Workforce Policy. No one is within the governor's office proper and current.
Okay, and that's the one, Bill, that you'd indicated where you did have some concern that the governor, as the chief executive officer, should have someone in the office over Education Workforce Policy because of the large budgetary issues. Okay. But this is a total of 24 positions, basically, that are floating out there, which would, in effect, double the size of the governor's office. Is that what we're talking about?
The office budget, but make no mistake about it, all right? These people work for the governor, as do the other 47,000 people in state government. So whether they're in DAS, we'd be just as happy, leave them there, that's fine with us. Bring them into our office, that's fine too. But make no mistake about the fact they work under the direction of the governor, wherever they are. So it really is just switching functions. I think as Rick Hayden alluded to earlier, these functions exist. They are providing service today. They're doing so under the umbrella of the Department of Administrative Services. Bring them into our budget. It wasn't our idea to do so, by the way. We proposed these within the Department of Administrative Services. So it really isn't a big issue to us, but at the moment, they're floating out there untethered, and so one way or the other, I think we need to put them either in the governor's office budget, put them in the Department of Administrative Services. That's fine, too. One way or the other, they need a place to light.
Madam Chair, I just want to make absolutely certain there was a point made that early on, when we had the same number of employees as the Governor Vicatia when he left office, and I've got 24 extra employees here. Did Governor Tia have a natural resource office with 11 people, or a community development office with 8 FTE, or an Office of Education Workforce Policy with 5 FTE that were floating around in DAS?
Governor Tia had the same constitutional authority and responsibility and power as every other governor in the state. All of the employees of the executive branch are, in theory, report to through channels.
That wasn't my question, Bill.
There was not a community development office. I couldn't tell you how they managed natural resource policy, but I would just bet you that they begged, borrowed, and stole, pulled people together for various challenges. And this reflects, the Governor's Office of Natural Resource Policy reflects an effort to formally structure that. If they go away, we're going to figure out how to do it anyway. I mean, we have obligations and responsibilities to fulfill and implementing the policy which this legislature and others have adopted, and this is the best way we can figure out how to do it. I do know that Governor Attia, like Governor Straub before him, and Governor McCall before him, and Governor Hatfield before him, and on and on and on, made expansive and extensive use of all the tools available within the executive branch to fulfill their mission. That's part of being governor.
I'm just trying to get some idea as to the expansion of the office of governor during the last three administrations. You know, how much it has been expanded. I know that we didn't have 40,000+ employees necessarily back a number of years ago, but I just want to make sure that it's a genuine statement that this office of the governor hasn't grown at all in the last basically 12 years from Governor Attia. If that's a genuine statement or not, I still question whether it may or may not be.
Well, I think you can just look at the materials for yourself, Representative Butler. The office of the governor has been intentionally kept to a low level, and so the employees in the office reflect essentially the same number. Now, there always have been ways and means that governors have used to spread their influence within the executive branch, and there will always continue to be, because that's part of the constitutional separation of powers and part of the responsibility in fulfilling that.
And I, Madam Chair, I make no mistake about it, I appreciate the fact that the governor is the executive director and the chief officer, the operating officer, and executive officer, I should say, for the state, and that that he exercises full control over the Department of Administrative Services. So it looks like to me, whether they're on A's payroll or B's payroll, they still work for and accomplish the missions, designs, and the will and wishes and whims of the governor of the state, who is the chief executive officer. So the decision comes down to be one of ways and means, and that is, where do we find the ways, and then how do we make the means?
Thank you, Representative Butler. Senator Dukes.
Actually, I mean, I was looking the same thing Representative Butler was, that there are all these people, and I was trying to figure out how big 29 got to be after we added them all. And I wanted to note that we just put two of the natural resources people into OWEB as well. Their policy positions seem to fit with what OWEB is doing. And there are various sundry other folks out there who are no longer floating, who have homes in other places.
Madam Chair, question of that OWEB is part of the natural resources budget, then, and that's separate and apart.
OWEB is its own state agency, and it has its own budget, and it now has Jay Nicholas, and I can't think of who the other person was. Jay was part of the governor's natural resources position. He does the Oregon plan stuff, the writing and all of that.
The reason I asked, Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, was that it was when we talked about the natural resource, governor's natural resource office, OWEB, or the watershed enhancement folks, were one of the specific groups that were mentioned as being amongst the 12 positions that are in that group. Within the governor's natural resource office, which directs these policy functions, it was mentioned that there was one of the 12 positions there that was a watershed position, and I didn't know whether that was the same as or part, you know, ancillary to
The governor's office has a policy arena on watersheds and has for I don't know how long.
So that's policy with the administration.
Right. And OWEB does pure grant administration, day-to-day operation stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dukes. I appreciate you responding to questions.
Oh. I'll let you know when I screw up.
Okay. Anything else? Anything further? Thank you both very much. Appreciate your time and effort here this morning and information. Dallas, do we have anything else to come to the other committee?
No, ma'am. Madam Chair, members of the committee, this is scheduled for a public hearing only. As I have heard my instructions, I am to meet with Representative Johnson, Representative Butler, and Senator Dukes to try to come up with a solution to community development office and a location for it. If I hear correctly, the prior recommendation would be two other policy offices to the governor's office. Purely, that was staff's recommendation for a couple of reasons. I wonder, put the policy offices within the policy office of the governor. And if that is satisfactory with the rest of the committee, we will pursue that avenue and then discuss with members of the committee. And I'd like to get some further clarification with Bill and Teresa on the role of the community development office to come up with a recommendation for that.
Madam Chair, just one clarification with the staff, if I may, please.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make absolutely certain that the Governor's Natural Resource Office is indeed, as well as the Office of Education Workforce Policy, that both of those offices are truly policy offices. I'm more familiar with the Community Development Office. And I would like to, and I appreciate the invitation to work with the good senator and Representative Johnson. That wouldn't put it uneven. I mean, that's really balancing the state out. You got two from the far west end of the state and one from the far east end of the state. That kind of weighs it out.
And symmetry.
It does, doesn't it?
It's the two part of the states that still have natural resources.
They
right?
still have some natural resources.
Represents a lot of natural resources, but as much as I'd like to have his input as well, he and I can't do this because we'd have a quorum of the committee.
And they meet at 3:45 in the morning.
Yes. And Representative Hayden has already let me know that any of those meetings is not necessarily some that he wants to be sure to attend. Nor do I.
One comment, I guess, to Representative Butler. I think the natural resources part of the governor's office truly is policy. That's why I'm not going to say that from time to time they don't dip into hands-on kinds of things, but is truly policy and is what has driven things like the Oregon Plan into actually happening. And now we've taken some of those things and put them into other agencies, whether it's OWEB or ODFW or whatever, the hands-on. But yeah, they get a little hands-on once in a while. Sometimes I wish they didn't, but they are truly policy.
And I guess one of the things that bothers me is I sit on your committee in the afternoon in which you do the economic development.
It bothers all of the members. Don't worry about that.
You still haven't told me. Didn't mean that, but it bothers you because you're chair. In Representative Johnson and I've tried several times to work with the LFO staff to look at the direction that people have given the Economic Development Department. And as you think about the community development offices pulling agencies of government together to work better in our communities, what better way to promote economic development? So I guess what I'm saying is when we look at these things, have we really tied everything together to make it work better? I think not, you know. So that's your charge, folks, and
Boy,
I appreciate your help.
Have I got an ad hoc committee for you to sit on this afternoon?
Did I know it's going to be at 10 this morning, and
10
I
o'clock.
Forgot to tell you I'm not going to be here. I feel a root canal coming on. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mine's a process question for Dallas. Are you going to convene us all together, which is what I'm advocating for, the ad hoc committee of three?
As a matter of fact, if Dallas has a moment...
Not between now and 10.
Between now and 10. Right,
works for me.
Let's do that so we can go into a work session. Okay. All right. We'll adjourn this meeting. Thank you very much. And you'll do that. Thank you. Appreciate it.